Welcome to the Beauty Revival Podcast, where you're taken on a journey of miracles, transformation, and radical beauty inside and out. I'm your host, MB York. I'm a celebrity makeup artist, esthetician, former spa owner, and product developer. This isn't just another beauty podcast. This is a movement. I'm bringing you my best anti-aging, beauty, skincare, and makeup tips, but we're going way deeper. From Hollywood sets to the supernatural, from breaking free of toxic relationships to unlocking the divine power within you, this is where beauty meets faith and transformation begins. Say goodbye to society's toxic traps and hello to God's mission for your life. So if you're ready, hit play and let's get started. Welcome to today's episode of Beauty Revival. And today's episode, I'm going to be talking about friendship revival, from fake friends to faithful ones, which I have a lot of experience, which I'm sure you guys do also. So I just want to talk about the non-negotiables with friendship, as well as some of the manners and etiquette with friendship, and the qualities of a good friend, and what my friendships used to look like, and what they look like now that they've been revived. Anyways, so I'm going to just start off with the number one topic, which is loyalty, non-negotiable. For some reason, I feel women can be very disloyal, and looking back, there seemed to be themes in my life that were happening in every category, and friendship was no different. So I'm just going to start right out of the gate with, don't be friends with my enemies. I think we've all heard this one, and it is true. It's, you're either for me or you're against me. I'm very black and white, and I've just been around long enough to be very cut and dry when it comes to the loyalty that I expect. And it's also the loyalty that I give. I am a really loyal friend. And if I have your back, I have your back. And I feel like I deserve the same. And if you're friends with somebody that I'm not friends with anymore, that I used to be, that's a problem. And I just feel like, yeah, if you're friends with my enemies, you're not my friend. So I will tell a quick loyalty story. This is something that goes years back to demonstrate the signs of disloyalty before you full on see them. I had a friend that our daughters were friends as well, but it was somebody I met through my spa. And I had gone to lunch with her and I told her this story about the clothing store. There's a children's store in the same center as my spa. And they had complained to the management of the center because I was carrying this French baby lip balm. It was just an incidental, meaning obviously she had exclusivity in our center for children's clothes. I had the exclusivity for spa, but there's something called incidentals where you're allowed to carry small amounts of other categories. And I was fully within my rights to be carrying this French baby lip balm that I liked it for my clients. It wasn't just for babies, it was for adults too. But she had to be petty and was trying to make it a problem for me with management. And I was upset because I was a really good customer of her store for clothes for my daughter that I had bought. And when my daughter was born, my clients were all buying gifts for her from the same store. And literally, my spa was in Scottsdale, but I lived in San Diego at the time. And every day, the UPS truck would pull up with boxes of baby clothes from this baby store. And so I was just venting to my friend saying, I can't believe they would be so petty, especially when they've gotten so much business from me. Anyways, I live nearby my spa and we had lunch in that same area and I wasn't going to be working that day. It was like a Monday. But after I left the lunch, I ended up unexpectedly going by my spa, and I saw my friend's car was right in front of the baby store. So I was just blown away that she would have listened to that story and then drove directly there. And I'm just the type of friend, if you tell me someone did you dirty or another store didn't treat you well, I'm not going to leave the lunch and drive right there. So it felt like a slap, but it really was information because this is someone that went on to do a lot of different things that were always just shady and far more than shady. After I separated from my husband, our daughters were friends and she had dropped her daughter off to have a sleepover with mine. And we were catching up, and when she left my house, she accidentally sent me a text that was meant for my ex-husband saying, "I just left your house and Mary Beth told me blah, blah, blah," something about someone else he was dating. And she said, "I can't believe after everything." And then it was cut off, the message. But I was literally pulling out of my driveway when I got the text, and I was so upset. Like, I totally scraped up the side of my car as I was pulling out when I saw that. But it's funny because I always find out the truth. I just have this gift. I really do think it's part of like my anointing where lies just don't get past me. And it's just pretty funny that she accidentally sent me the text and that's how I found out. But anyways, yeah, so that was interesting. And this was somebody that was a really good friend. We did travel together as couples. She had recently also split up with her husband. And it's just looking back just really makes me sick. Not something I would ever do. So back to friendship, like loyalty, I would never date anyone that is an ex of one of my friends or even an ex of a client or an ex of someone I know. To me, that's a turnoff. Like, it's not just a boundary. It's just an ew. Like, I could talk about this topic for an hour. No, if you're someone else's ex, then you're someone else's ex. I don't dabble with my friends or even my ex-friends' ex-partners. It's a huge boundary. So, moving along to another non-negotiable, don't poach my other good friends. This is something I've also heard a lot of my clients talk about over the years and at every age range too. I have friends that are in their 70s that talk about this being an issue. And I had a friend group that they didn't know each other. They all knew each other through me. There was a group of pretty much four of us. And they all got to know each other through me. We all ended up doing birthdays together. And none of these friends, at least for sure, two of the three, I'm really talking about two of them more than the third, they never included me with their other friends. And nor would I need to be or want to be. It's like that same boundary of someone's exes. That's her friend. I don't need to be meeting up with them for lunch. And the example or the exception I'll give to this is I do have another friend that introduced me to one of her other friends. And this friend was married and me and her friend, other friend, were both single. So it was along the lines of you guys need to go out together. And we did become friends and we would go out and it was appropriate in that circumstance. What I'm talking about is like people that were really super close long term in different categories. Like I had different, very different relationships with all of them, but I just felt they crossed the line. And not only just by them becoming friends outside of me, but then lying to me about it. That's what really got me. And it all started with, I would notice one of my friends texting my other friend over the summer when she was out of the country. And I thought it was weird that she was staying in touch with her, which I had been friends with her for 15 years at that point, maybe 20. And when she left for the summer, I wasn't texting her, but I noticed that my friend was. And I thought, that's weird. Like, why are you texting her? But anyways, another time I was going to work and I called first the one friend and then the other, and neither one of them answered my call or texted me back. And so I just have this spidey sense, like I just knew like that they must have gone to lunch together. I know this is such a jump, but it is what happened. And so what? If you're going to go to lunch together, if it was me and this scenario was reversed, I would answer the phone and say, oh, I'm here with blah, blah. Or I would text and say, oh, sorry, I'm having lunch with the other friend's name. I wouldn't just completely ignore me. And then both of them, like after their 4-hour liquor-fueled lunch, both of them either called or texted within 5 minutes of each other when they left their lunch. And one of my friends lied about it and the other didn't. And I had put together, like, I just get very clear answers. Like, I knew that they were at lunch together just from my own intuition. And the one friend lied and the other friend just told me the truth. So then it was even worse because I was like, why would you lie? And anyways, this, I'm not friends with either one of them anymore, but it was a long time even breaking off with the friendship because we were next door neighbors, which made it really awkward. And again, it was just many years. To me, both of them were really like sisters. So it was hard to watch them be so disloyal. And anyways, without going into the further things that happened, it ended up splitting off completely where I'm not friends with either of them at all. And they're friends with each other and they're not friends with me. And it's just, it's super awkward, but you know what? They are more alike and they have way more in common. And honestly, it was probably insane loyalty, which I talk about, where looking back, it was always just codependent, toxic, and not really true friendship. It was different aspects of feeling like I was used in certain categories. And just not a healthy reciprocal friendship. And from the loyalty standpoint alone, I will just say there was scenarios where I should have been invited to things with the one friend that lived right next door, but she would never include me, even though I knew most of her other friends. Big holiday, like girls' gift exchanges, whatever it was, she could have easily invited me. She never did, never extend anything from her group. And same with the other friend, yet I was the generous one and that's what I got. So yeah, I highly recommend keeping your friendships separate and don't introduce your friends to other friends because women are just, I don't know, obviously not all women, but a lot of women are very shady and toxic and liars. So anyways, I know that sounds so negative, but I'm going to move along with my loyalty non-negotiables. Okay, so don't align with my exes socially or online. This also to me should be go without saying, but yeah. Don't be renting your house to my ex-boyfriend that I'm not on speaking terms with. I could give so many examples of don't invite another ex and his wife to your house for dinner. Whatever the other reasons for doing so, like your loyalty to me should come first and foremost. And again, if the situation was reversed, I wouldn't be doing business with anyone that was an ex of one of my very good friends, unless she was on good terms with him and I knew him as well. I'm sure there's exceptions to everything, but overall, don't be Facebook friends with my ex if you only new me. Like, it's just weird. Why are you friends with my ex? I don't know. I'm just suspicious. I think maybe the 10 years of owning my spas and dealing with a lot of women as employees and seeing a lot of things that they were capable of, like lying, and when I would fire them, going to the labor board, cosmetology board, lying, making things up, calling my husband, telling him I was having an affair, which I was not. Just nasty, vile, mean, disloyal. I not only went through it for 10 years with employees, but with my very closest friends, it's just, I don't know. I'm really happy now, though, and I'll get to the revival of my friendships because I just have way higher standards. And yeah, I would rather be alone than with the type of friends that I used to have. And other friends where I was always the giver. I was always the one giving the ride to the airport at 4 a.m. and going out of my way to do favors and always be a cheerleader for their life and bring value and give so much and have zero reciprocity, like zero, to just finally realize, wow, this friend like never once invites me to do anything unless it's like needing a favor. And it's really hard to wrap your head around why, but I think the biggest takeaway is it just has nothing to do with your worth as a person. It has to do with their capacity as a person to reciprocate at a certain level of friendship. And I just give my all. If I'm somebody's friend, like I'm going to be there for them, especially in a crisis. And I'll get to that in a minute because I really think that is probably the number one most important thing of friendship. Yeah. Again, moving along from not aligning with my exes in any way. No, that is a boundary. Okay, so next I'm going to move on to manners and etiquette because this is another thing I see with women. And having had a lot of friends over the years, I've been very social with my business, very social. Just being single, you end up having to socialize more. I feel like when I was married, it was easier to just do less with females, even though I always did have friends. But it's just, I don't know, it's a lot heavier when you're single. Maybe you expect more out of your friends. I don't know. I feel like I'm pretty independent, but I just have certain things that I've seen over and over until I completely cut the cord. And I'm just going to go over them really quickly on manners and etiquette. So one is just on being generous. Even my friends that I told you about earlier that I'm not friends with anymore, they were all very generous. And that was just one quality that was never an issue. And I have friends like this right now. One of them I'll name is Kaylee O'Kelly, who I interviewed in one of my past episodes. We were just out the other night and we have to just fight each other for the check. Like, she's someone that I'm 100% planning on paying. It's my turn to pay. I'll tell her I'm buying. And she literally will like wrestle and finagle and end up paying. And she's just super generous. And I've just, my long-term friends, it's like they pay one time, I pay the next. It's totally fine to split the bill as long as it's not like one person had the seafood tower with three glasses of wine and then the other had a salad and an iced tea. Be considerate, but you don't want to sit there and have to nickel and dime it every single time. And with most people that I've been friends with, it's not an issue, but there are repeat offenders where every time I go out, it would be a stress when the check would come. And it would be something where they would be bragging about the big promotion that they got during the dinner. But when it came time to pay their share, they would put out a $10 bill and act like they're not paying attention and just pull a fast one. Like the same people will repeatedly pull a fast one. And I had it happen again just recently with somebody that had invited me for my birthday, and she pulled a fast one, and literally, I ended up paying the tab and the tip and everything. She just didn't look at the waitress when the waitress came around, and I won't go into all the details. It's just I had taken her for her birthday a couple weeks prior because she was going through a hard time. It wasn't a close friend. It was just somebody I knew that was going through a hard time. And I said I would take her. I wasn't expecting anything in return, but she offered, which I thought was nice, but then took it back when it came time to pay. And, you know, those kind of things just don't go unnoticed. Yeah, I feel like you need to respect people's finances, their time, their energy. Another thing is people that are chronically late. I have a few friends that will every time leave me sitting there at the restaurant or the bar. And by the bar, I mean the restaurant bar, but just sitting by myself for 15, 20, 30 minutes, 45 minutes. And I'm just done. Like I can't do that. I have just no tolerance for it anymore. And by the time they show up, I'm just really wanting to run out the back door and not even sit there. And then I have to sit through a fake dinner, whatever it is, just feeling flustered because I just feel disrespected. So anyways, it just turns into so much stress. The simplest of things, again, just being on time, paying your share, or at least being a generous kind of friend where you can easily take turns buying and it's not a stress every time the bill comes. And then another thing is seating etiquette. Like, this is another pet peeve of mine when your friend gets there before you and takes a great seat in the restaurant and leaves you like with your back to the whole room and shoved in a corner. I'm not talking about a quick lunch. I'm talking about like when you're going to a nice restaurant for dinner, that I have friends that will wait for me like in the lobby and say, I was waiting for you. And then we go in together and decide together how and where we're going to sit. And if I get to a restaurant or a bar before my friend, I always scope out a spot where I know that there's a really good seat for my friend too, and or an option too. So when they show up, I always say, is this okay? Would you rather sit here? You can put your bag here. I consider them. So it's not just, oh, I have the great seat on the couch with my back to the parking lot and I'm facing the beautiful restaurant and you're in the steel chair with nowhere to put your purse, staring at just me and the parking lot. When I get to a restaurant and that's the scenario, it just really annoys me. I don't know. Call me high maintenance. I just feel like, yeah, it's an etiquette thing and it bugs me. I just don't think it's considerate. And on a date too, I've had the same thing happen on a date. Yes, same exact scenario where you meet them at the restaurant and they do that. It's just a big red flag if you ask me. Another etiquette thing with friendship and when you go out is having discretion and don't overshare loudly in public. Some of the people I'm talking about are offenders in every category that I'm bringing up. But it's like talking so loud about your last 3 weeks with some new guy, talking about sex, talking about just embarrassing things, things that no one else needs to hear. I don't even need to hear it, really. But to be talking that loud and not care who's listening. So when I go out with people and there's people on both sides of me, right on top of me at a table or at a bar, I do not loudly talk about my personal life or what's going on with me. I don't like people listening. And I've just noticed many times, even as recently as the other day at my hair appointment, my friend was doing my highlights and I just I'm aware that people are very quiet in the chair next to me and it's people that I know and I don't want to be shouting my personal life. And my friend got a little annoyed, was like, no one can hear you. But I'm like, I think that they can. And I'm just private. So yeah, I like to go somewhere where it's private if you're going to sit at a table where you don't have other people on top of you. And then you could talk freely without worrying that everyone's listening to your conversation. Again, the friendship etiquette, celebrating milestones. So like the whole birthday celebration, to celebrate, to not celebrate. I have friends that every year we celebrate each other's birthday and it's awesome. And some years I'm more into it than others. This past year, I was like, let's just do easy, like flower child, like lunch. I don't want some huge extravaganza, but my friends that do it for me, I reciprocate and do it for them. And it's just what you do. And if your friend's traveling or they don't want to do the dinner, like at least text them happy birthday. Acknowledge your friend's birthday. I feel like to blow it off completely can sting. And it's just, again, it's etiquette. Yeah. Again, the reciprocating invitations I talked about a little bit before. If one person is always doing the inviting and the other never does, it's just not very balanced as far as friendship goes. Yeah, I had another friend that she, like 3 nights in a row, asked me to go to like happy hour, early dinner. And all 3 nights, she gave me the same excuse that she was running really late. And it was like the time that I was supposed to be meeting her. She told me that she was in line at Zara trying on clothes and running late. And I'm like, okay, then let's just do it another night. 3 nights in a row, she did it. And I just felt like, why are you even inviting me? Okay. And then this same friend was really wanting to find a man. And so most of our conversations stemmed around her telling me the reality of what it's like out there. And I just don't like participating in those conversations because I just don't let it in. That's not my reality. I don't talk about lack. I don't see the world as being lacking. Even if there is a reality where I don't have something, I don't frame it that way. I frame it in that I'm choosing it. And if I wanted it, I would have it. And so the same person, after feeling like it was repeated annoyance every time I went out with her, I just decided if I'm going to spend my time listening to this, I'm at least going to be of value. And I've done this. I do this with all my friends, actually. If I'm going to sit across from you and have dinner or drinks, I'm going to just be honest and truthful. And I think that's another important quality of a good friend, is that you tell the truth. And not everybody likes it or can handle it. And I try to do it lovingly. If I feel somebody is making the same mistake over and over, I will try to say it in a way to point it out to them, in a way to help. And if somebody just isn't willing to hear that and accept it, then for me, it's just all a flawed premise. It's all fake. What are we even doing here? I'm not going to participate. So that same friend, I just decided I was just going to be honest with her. And I tried to say, hey, I know it's important to you that you find someone. And I just feel like the way that you're going about it, the way that you're talking about it, is really coming from a lack mindset, and that there's ways of thinking about it. I was just trying to empower her. And I was saying, there's ways of more magnetizing it to you by coming from more of a positive viewpoint instead of, I don't have this, I don't have that. And I forget the exact words that I used, but she basically stopped being friends with me after that. I could tell she was annoyed. And then after we left, I didn't hear from her. So I did text her like a week later and said, I'm sorry if I offended you when we were out the last time. I was trying to help you because I know it's important to you to find somebody. And I was just trying to give you advice to be helpful, but I'm sorry if it hurt your feelings. And she never responded. So I guess it was completely It was unforgivable. It was unforgivable that I told the truth. But what did I have to lose? I'm like, okay, it's a win-win for me because I don't have to have my time completely disregarded. I don't have to sit here and listen to the same thing every time we go out and be gaslit if I try to engage with some sort of helpful advice. So if none of that is welcomed, then what did I lose? I lost nothing. I gained everything. I gained my own freedom, my own time, and my time is valuable. There's 100 things I would rather do. I would rather be at a shelter with animals or babysitting my daughter's cats. There's 100 things I would rather do. So again, qualities of a good friend. So I'm going to skip to being there in a crisis, no matter the hour. So I feel like the differences with my friendships now compared to before, when they were more like codependent, narcissistic. It was all about looking pretty, going to happy hour, having a cute outfit, except I would get there, my friends didn't work, and I'd been working all day. And by the time I would get there, they were so drunk from having already been drinking for 3 to 4 hours. It's just, looking back, I just laugh. Like, I am so glad that's not my reality anymore. My friendships now are more seasonal. Like, God will put people in my path that need my support for whatever they're going through. And I'm really great at giving support. I love doing it. I had a friend recently go through some estrangement with her daughter, and she was really upset. And it's an incredibly difficult emotional thing to go through. And I would talk to her on the phone for 5 hours at a stretch. Like, I was so emotionally embedded for her. I found her a support group. I sent her YouTube videos. I just would give her exact responses and things to say and things not to say. And I really helped her a lot get her relationship back on track with her daughter. And again, by being honest, I would say, do not say that. Like, she would tell me things that she said, and I would just be so brutally honest. But that's what helped her. And I get it. Sometimes the truth can hurt, but it's the truth that sets you free. So I have another couple of friends that went through some very tough court cases with child custody cases that were very dark. And I was so invested with prayers and with advice and with just 24/7 helping to reframe bad news and keep my friends pumped up and just being super involved in terms of going into the courtroom of heaven and bringing Jesus as my advocate and praying for my friend's situation. And sometimes these same friends wouldn't even tell me when they would get the resolution to their case until months later. And I would just think, wow, I was so involved. I wish you would have told me sooner, but whatever. I just learned just to keep my expectation bar low. It's like, I feel like my role is like being dutiful to like what God wants me to do. And I do it. And as far as how long my friendships will last, it's to be determined. And again, I have my list of non-negotiables, and people have been falling off the friendship list because of doing some of those things that I talked about. I just have zero tolerance anymore. I'm like, I would rather not have any friends at all. But luckily, I do have friends, and as some doors close, other doors open. I had another friend that I met, and she had recently had a really close friend die. And when I met her, she told me her friend had just died. And I said, you lost a friend, but God sent you a new one. And it was prophetic when I said it, because I didn't know it at the time, but her and I did go on to become really good friends. And it was true. Like, God did send me to her as a new friend 2 days after her really good friend had died. So it was interesting. Again, yes, just making your friend feel valued and not used. So again, if you can support their business, like, absolutely do that. I feel like a lot of my friends I've met through networking groups, I've done so many of them over the years. And I'm really grateful when people support my business, when my friends support my business. And a lot of times I met them because they were supporting my business, which made me like them even more and be grateful that they're supporting me in that way. But the only exceptions I have to that is multi-level businesses. I just cannot deal with multi-level. I've had too many bad experiences. Everybody tries to get me involved because I have a lot of clients and I'm really good at selling, but I've just found you have to create a team underneath you. And that's not something I want to do anymore at this point in my life. And I've actually lost friends over the multi-level thing. I recently, like a year ago, lost a good friend because it all went south. And it just, again, should have been something so simple and easy. But I feel the whole company was just misleading. And anyways, yeah. So moving along to upgraded friendship and what it looks like now is the friendships are more intentional. They're not accidental. Like, if I am friends with somebody, I sit there and think, how can I support you? I have a friend that's an artist, and I recently just went to coffee with her, and I sat there for 90 minutes just giving her every last contact that I have, every idea that I had for her business and how to sell her art, and every event I had coming up where she could be included. I do that because I'm happy to do that, to support people. I know it's tough out there, and that's one thing that I do have a lot of, which is contacts. And if somebody needs a job or help promoting something, I love to do it. Another friend reached out because she was on the board for a charity and needed donations for the silent auction. And she asked me, and I got her like 20 donations within a couple of weeks. I just know a lot of people, and everyone I asked said yes. And I was happy to do it. And that's how I show my love to my friends. Maybe it's the acts of service. I don't know. I just really 100% try to be there. And then I'll say that your friends should sharpen you spiritually, not drain you emotionally. And I have a friend, Trista, that's one of my church friends, that is a total soul sister. And we reach out to each other in crisis, which happens to be a lot for both of us. But whatever it is, say my dog was dying, or she has an issue with being sick or something with her daughter or her work or whatever, we can just reach out to each other. We're total prayer partners where we pray the same way. And we do this, I talk about it, I call it the miracle code in one of my past episodes and also in my upcoming book, Beauty Revival. But I talk about how to pray, and she's my partner that I always do it with. And we first ask for the prayer. We ask Jesus, ask God for the prayer, and stand on God's word, where specifically you can say, Lord, your word says no weapon formed against me will prosper. But then we do a visualization element where we visualize the outcome that we want. Say it's a part on your car, your car broke down and you don't want to have some crazy huge expense. So we'll do it for that. And then when we do these steps, we always get the miracle. And so she's such a great friend because she's so valuable to me. If I feel like something is coming on with being sick, she sends me a voice memo, huge, powerful prayer to cast it out. And we go through the steps of visualizing it, standing on our word, using our word. Our words are so powerful. So my revival friendships totally are so powerful because they help me remember the power that I have and to create my reality and to be empowered through Christ Jesus. I feel the times are just getting crazier and the stakes are high. And for single friends, especially that like myself, like my friend Trista, a lot of my friends that I'm talking about, my friend that had the custody cases, we don't have a husband that we're going home and leaning on or that's stepping up and paying for everything when things go wrong. So we have to depend on our Heavenly Father who always comes through. So it's good to have that network in place that helps you remember and helps you to draw on that. So in summary, maybe it's time for you to audit your friendships and see who's loyal, respectful, supportive, and honest. And it's another thing that I've heard a lot over the years with my friends and my clients where they always seem to have a friend that's just a real thorn in their side, someone that's just contentious with them. And maybe it's time to let go of the insane toxic loyalty and cut that person loose. God shows me who is not a friend. He warns me about people. He'll say, beware with their initial. And there's been people that I've cut out of my life that he warned me about very early on. And I didn't see it at all. I was like, what? Really? No. But sure enough, it would come to pass. And I've just learned also, the older I get, the bigger a problem people can really be when you ignore those signs, when you let the enemy into your camp, which is a fake friend, they can do a lot of damage to your life, a lot of damage. And I had another friend that I was warned about that I knew she didn't have the same standard that I did as far as integrity. But I just was like, I'm slumming it with something that is super official, but they did cause me some problems in business just by knowing something private that I was developing. And I had a couple of people do this where they sabotaged a business deal of mine. And it's not a maybe, it's an absolute. And it was because they had no business. They should not have been in my tent. And yeah, so I don't ignore those warnings anymore. God will also show me who's envious, and he spells it out for me. And he's shown me that with people that really shocked me, that I did not see it at all. But in retrospect, you can see it. It's just, I don't know. I guess it takes one to know one. Sometimes you just don't want to believe that someone that you see like a sister, that you love like a sister, actually does not want the best for you. And they not only don't want the best for you, they don't want you to succeed. They sabotage your success. They do it in ways that you can look back and see clear as day that they sabotage your success. And that's what an enemy is. That's not a friend. That's an absolute enemy. And yeah, I don't look back and regret closing the door on any of the friendships that I have closed the door on. And I've gotten faster and faster about shutting the door when I see red flags because I've just seen the damage that can be done. And again, it's better to keep your circle small. They say people with big, huge friend groups, it's all superficial. It looks great on social media. How many are real, true friends? And I'd rather have one true friend or none than some huge group of women that are competing with each other and subtly, low-key sabotaging you. So anyways, maybe look at where you need boundaries with your friends. And in summary, I will stand on Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one friend sharpens another. So again, your friends should lift you up. They should make you better, and they should tell you the truth. So That's it for today's episode. I hope that you learned something from it, and I hope that you're going to elevate your friendships into revived ones and flush down the toilet all of the fake friendships. Thank you so much for listening. Bye.
That's a wrap on today's episode of Beauty Revival. Remember, true beauty starts in the mind and spirit. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12:2. If today's message spoke to you, share this episode with a friend who needs a little beauty revival in their life. And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. It helps more women just like you step into their God-given glow. For more inspiration, beauty tips, and faith-fueled empowerment, connect with me on Instagram at mbyork.beauty and check out my website, mbyork.com. Until next time, stay radiant, stay revived, and let's glow.